exemption for property tax. And with that, I'll ask our town clerk, Liz Izzo, to read the notice, please.
Please take notice, the Catskill Town Board will hold a public hearing for Local Law 1 of 2023, providing real property tax exemption for volunteer firefighters and ambulance workers pursuant to Section 466A of the Real Property Tax Law on Wednesday, February 15, 2023 at 6:15 p.m. at Catskill Town Hall, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York, by order of the Catskill Town Board, Elizabeth Izzo, Town Clerk.
Thank you, Liz. So that, I mean, the local law, we're really modeling of what the New York State template came out, and it's very similar, or not exactly the same local law that was passed by Greene County. I mean, we could read the whole law, but if anybody has questions that are familiar with the law already, you know, we'd entertain questions from the floor, or if you'd like, I could, you know, it's multiple pages long. Michael, have you had a chance to look at it at all?
Read it today.
Yeah, any concerns or questions that you'd like to address on the local?
It's the same language the county has.
Right. I mean, just a highlight or two, the property exemption, again, the school district passed a local law to give the exemption firemen. We are, you know, plan on doing that hopefully tonight in the town of Catskill, Greene County. I'm not sure, you know, what the fire districts are going to do and where the village. The one difference is that once you apply, you got to really look into it a little bit to see if you're going to apply for the property exemption or the New York State tax credit. But just to clarify that, if you go for the property exemption, then you're not going to qualify on your New York State income tax to take the, you know, that tax credit back. So, I mean, for most people, it would probably be slightly advantageous, depending on your property values, to, you know, take the exemption, you know, through the, you know, this particular local law versus the New York State. And again, it's mostly dealing with active members. I can highlight some of the top things. It's, you know, the intended purpose is actually to attract new members, retention of members that we already have. It's really just a thank you for the volunteers over the years and their active members that are still volunteering to, you know, give us fantastic fire service. I mean, they're, you know, a great group of people. Without them, I mean, those services would cost us, I don't even want to venture a guess, but it would be extremely expensive. And again, it's just a really great appreciation for our local firemen. And it would qualify for EMS volunteers, but in the town of Catskill, we do have a paid ambulance, so it's really, you know, not so much. But we do have first responders out in Camelville, so if they're in that section, they would fall also, you know, under the local law. So we talked about the 10% on the property exemption. Continuation, each year you're going to have to, if you want to go for the exemption, you would have to re-qualify with our town assessor every year and provide documentation
Thank
that
you.
You know, you still own that property in the town of Catskill and that you're an active member within those fire departments or EMS. Same thing with unmarried surviving spouses. If you have 20 years of service in the fire service and you're active and you start the exemption, then it would be like a lifelong event as long as you stay within that municipality, or in our case, the town of Catskill. And if your surviving spouse would also qualify. And I think it was one other question that came up. What are the means if you have one of the local
jurisdiction?
The LOSAP, let's say, I believe Hope's three in the village has a LOSAP.
The village has it, but it also depends on the authority of jurisdiction, what their local law is. States are states that, you know, Catskill has a LOSAP, so those members will still be able to collect LOSAP and either the state income tax credit or the property tax.
Right. And there's no curtailment of benefits. And so if you take this exemption, you're not going to get curtailed on other exemptions that you're entitled to. So just wanted to clarify that. If there's any questions from anybody in the audience or anybody would like to speak on behalf or for the local law, that's, you know, now's your time to step forward if you'd like to have any questions or just make a few comments.
Yep. There's two forms that need to be filled out with Audrey. She has that. I believe, Michael, you received that today. There's also another form that's required by FASB. So John Farrell is working on that. Jack's working on that. Once we have it.
Oh, yeah. We've already received that from FASB.
Oh, you have it already?
Any copies I got.
Okay. All right. Because Audrey's going to have upstairs too. Can you see
what position for the agency have the authority that letter?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. All right.
And probably one of the more important factors that I did overlook, March 1st, if you're going to apply for this exemption, you have to have it to the town assessor prior to March 1st. If you come in on March 2nd, you're not going to get that benefit for 2024. You'd be pushed to 2025. So that'll all cost, if you're interested in me, relay that to all your members in Kiskatown, Catskill, Leeds, and Palinville, that, you know, it's got to be in prior to March 1. So the sooner they get going with that, the better. So with that, no other questions, we'll need a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion.
Motion by Paul, second. Second. By Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. Do we want to vote on that? Right.
We can.
We got to go for a regular session.
Yes.
Okay. So the next one, we're going to vote.
6:20 p.m., correct. Public, local law for two.
Right, we're going to go into a local law number two. We're going to open up a public hearing for some of our zoning amendments. Ted's worked on them extensively with our, Ted Tilshire's our town attorney. He worked extensively with that, with our planning zoning board and with the town board. So we have multiple changes out there. So with that, Liz, could you please read the notice for the public hearing for local law 2?
Please take notice the Catskill Town Board will hold a public hearing for local law 2 of 2023, amending the code of the town of Catskill on Wednesday, February 15th, 2023 at 6:20 p.m., Catskill Town Hall, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Proposed changes to the town code include changes to planning board, solar energy use, subdivision, and zoning chapters. New chapters on battery storage facilities and solar energy pilot agreements are proposed. Changes to the zoning map adjacent to the Thruway Exchange in Leeds are proposed. Proposed amendments to the town to the code are townwide and apply in all zones. The board will welcome public comment at the time and in writing. The proposed code amendments are available for review on the town website and at the town clerk's office, 439 Main Street, Catskill, Newark, by order of the Catskill Town Board, Elizabeth Izzo, town clerk.
Thank you, Liz. So as we mentioned, or I mentioned earlier, that we have like six different categories. We've got zoning, planning board, subdivision and land documents, solar energy, again, solar and then battery storage. So I guess we could start out with the zoning documents. I think that's probably take one section at a time to see if there's any public comment or concerns. And again, as Liz had mentioned to town clerk, these changes have been on the website, so hopefully everybody had an opportunity to read them prior to coming to the meeting tonight. So with that, I'll open it up to the floor for any comments on the zoning documents. Allison?
Thank you. Thank you, members of the board. I appreciate just taking a few minutes here to comment on both local law. I do have comments on both the zoning law revisions and also the revisions to the subdivision regulations. I can address probably the simpler one, or if you'd like to stick with the zoning.
No, if you have the floor, we can hear both issues at the time.
So currently in the town zoning regulations at section 140.10, we have language that says when you have a conditional plat approval, when the planning board puts conditions on their subdivision approval, there's currently a deadline that you have 180 days to satisfy those conditions, and the planning board is limited to two 90-day extensions after that. And that language actually is based on the prior version of the New York Town Law, which was amended in 2010, where the legislature actually struck out by not more than two additional periods. And the purpose of that was to allow planning boards to use their discretion to grant extensions of time for an applicant to satisfy conditions as the particular situation may warrant it. They still retain their own discretion.
I'm sorry, Allison, what section?
140.10. Section 140.10. And if it helps, Ted, I did a printout of the section with the proposed change I'm talking about.
All right.
And this is a copy of the state session law from 2010. The prior New York State law, New York Town law, it had it limited to the planning board to grant two 90-day extensions. And in 2010, the legislature said, we should do away with this limitation and leave it to local planning board to decide if additional extensions should be granted. Part of the reason for that is, a lot of time a subdivision requires a lot of other government approvals. And your local planning board will typically say, you can't file your plat or pull any building permits until you get your Department of Health approval, or if you need sewer, or whatever other approvals you need, any kind of DEC wetland permit. And the time it's now taking to get those other state agency approvals can easily exceed, the amount of time that's provided for with the old law and what's currently on the books in the town of Catskill. Just getting Department of Health approvals in Greene County, where we don't have a county health department, has been very difficult. So I propose the board should amend that section to accord with the current New York State law, which strikes out the limitation on two additional 90-day extensions. It would be a simple amendment, just not more than two additional, and the planning board can continue to consider extensions for 90-day periods at a time. So if the board would consider, I provided Ted with the proposed language. You know, this is relevant to an application that I was here last month talking about. My client, the Catskill Golf Course, currently has an approved subdivision with conditions on it, one of it being an extension of the town's sewer district. We are working with Catterskill to develop that connection plan, and I will have that and want to have that when I make the petition to this board to expand the district. You know, currently we're under the current extension deadline of the planning board. This amendment would actually allow us to go back to them if we need additional time to allow the town board to work through that process. So that's just one example of a real-life situation where I hope, you know, makes sense to allow the planning board to make that decision if it wants to continue to allow the extensions. So that was the comment I had on the subdivision regulations. The next comment I have on the proposed revisions to the zoning law. Again, my client, Catskill Golf Resort, has just filed in the past couple of days an application to amend that subdivision that they currently have in order to allow for the land underneath the what's now considered a duplex to split that land so that he could deed the two units to two separate individuals, so two separate tax parcels. And it is considered a re-subdivision under the town's regs, and so we have submitted an application for a major subdivision and also a special use permit application because this would be considered a townhouse with the two separate parcels underneath. I've reviewed the proposed amendments. My understanding the board's not going to amend the current definition of townhouse, so we could still get permitted a townhouse of at least two units.
It's possible that they're not.
I mean, as
that's
you
still in discussion.
That's still in discussion, but as you mentioned, you know, getting, you know, 410, 140-10, you know, back to like state regulations and state code. And I think, you know, that's something that as a town we should consider going back to the state definition of a townhouse as well. I think that's important. And there was talk early on many projects, and including the one that you're referencing to, is, you know, down the road, or, you know, we're going to work on PUDs, you know, planned unit developments, and that's if we wanted to, not me, but the town board, that whoever happens to be the town board at that given time would have that leeway or discretion to say, well, in that really makes sense for a two-unit townhouse, and that under a PUD that would be allowable. I mean, there's many of those out there. I mean, in the town of Bethel has, you know, again, certain areas, but they're designated as PUDs, and so does the town of Wilton. You know, and there's multiple, but it seems like all those do all those type of project end up being under a PUD versus a, you know, anywhere else in the town.
I have seen it in other towns with a definition similar to what we have on the books now. The town of Manfreding actually just dealt with a two-unit townhouse on individual lot.
Which town?
Town of Manfreding. You know, currently in the copy that was posted, you know, I didn't see a red line in, so I didn't mean to presume, but I had thought there was some discussion and perhaps, you know, the determination was made not to propose it. You know, my client has just submitted an application, you know, and a special use permit, you know, to allow him to, you know, basically there's no change to the structure. He's already been permitted to build. It's literally to, you know, break it into two parcels so that the two units can be deeded to two separate individuals. So, you know, if the board is considering that amendment, you know, I would submit that they do have this in other municipalities without the formation of a PUD, and I don't know if you have a minimum lot requirement or a minimum acreage requirement for a PUD,
right,
but that may not fit in a situation like this where we're talking about a small-scale development of two units, you know, that could be sold to individual homeowners. So I would propose that, you know, the board consider keeping the definition as is that will allow for a two-unit townhouse development. I also noted that the yard and setback requirements applicable to townhouses, there is a proposed revision to those as well, whereas under the existing law, there was townhouses were exempt from minimum lot size requirements and setbacks, And so now that's been revised to say the setback doesn't apply to the common wall of the townhouse that would be right on the line, but all other setbacks would apply, and the exemption for the minimum lot size has been removed. So that, you know, my client's application has been submitted, you know, would no longer be compliant with the law if that change is made. We met with the code enforcement officer, went over the plan. You know, we're careful to make sure that we did accord with all the setbacks, aside from that common law setback, so that's not going to be an issue. You know, but this minimum lot size exemption being removed now would require a bigger lot around, you know, the townhouse unit, where I just don't know, I guess what the, you know, the benefit of that would be. If anything, if you have someone proposing a large number of these units, it would cause it to, you know, kind of be a larger footprint or sprawl with the development, whereas if you didn't have the minimum lot size, you could, you know, cite them as long as they comply with the additional setback. So I would, you know, request that the board consider adding back in the exemption that's in the existing law for minimum lot size for townhouse units, and also to keep its current definition of townhouse, which would be applicable to two or more connected units. And I can just, you know, key you into what I'm talking about. It's the yard and lot requirements.
It's probably under the table of use.
Right, it's the opening paragraph right above the table of uses. So prior to these proposed amendments, when we were preparing the application that we have submitted, the law provided, give me a second, I can tell you what the, it had previously said, townhouses are exempt from minimum lot size and setback requirements. So that exemption for minimum lot size has now been taken out with these proposed amendments, and we would, you know, request that the board put it back in. Or they consider a provision in the zoning law that, you know, this amendment would not apply to pending applications for townhouses.
Questions? Because I don't anticipate, you know, we're going to hear everybody's comments tonight, and I don't anticipate voting on the amendments tonight. You know, that way we'll gather as much information as we can, review all the comments and concerns, and then most likely, you know, bring this back up at our next monthly meeting, and at that point probably vote on the revisions.
Great. And I can provide any, you know, if Ted would prefer to provide the comments in writing before that date or any additional information you may need.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on the zoning or amendments or revisions? Gary?
Good evening, everybody. Gary Harder, resident Townville. Just a couple of things. I want to thank you for your taking a look at this and for the proposed changes. And there's a couple of things things that you should consider. And as a member of the town zoning board, it's come to my attention that there's a need for the town to be more business, tourism, and affordable housing friendly. This would encourage businesses to stay here and to locate here, and it would, as well as residents to stay and new ones to come. The last 10 years, the town of Catskill has seen a 3% decline in population. And so, regarding businesses, I think that the zoning map should be looked at. The original design of the zoning rules and regulations was to designate highway commercial corridors along state highways. And so we have basically the town of Catskill is a little bit unique. We have quite a few state highways. And so we have 9W running north and south along the east side, and which is basically highway commercial and industrial down around Cementon. And then we have 23A that goes from the village of Catskill southwesterly towards Palinville. That's pretty much highway commercial. We have 32 along the westerly side of the town, base of the mountain, that's highway commercial. But the northern section of the town is State Highway 23, the new road. Well, it's not new anymore, but it's just when I was there. And so, but anyhow, that when they built that road, it was built with limited access or no access through the properties that it went through. So you couldn't access the state road. So I don't know if it was a mistake or it was just an oversight or whatever. So because that was not be able to accommodate businesses along that road, the old state road, County Road 23B, I think that it should have been designated as highway commercial, basically from Leeds to South Caro, the corridor from Catskill to Caro. That should have been, but it never was. It was just left of RA and some moderate density, I believe, along through there. But it's historically been commercial properties, and there's still commercial properties along that corridor. So I think that that's something that should be looked at. Regarding tourism, Green County and everybody, they advertise their gateway to the Catskills, the Great Northern Catskills. Come on, everybody, come on. But in the town of Catskill, there's no place to stay. And so I think that the town of Catskill should look at making it a little bit more, some hotels, or whatever. I know they have some planned at Exit 21, but one thing, that would be good, but I still don't think that's enough. If somebody comes to Catskill, where they've got to go to Sawgreaves or they've got to go to Kingsaki to stay. There's no, so it's something I think we should look at. Also, affordable housing. Affordable housing, we need to really do something about affordable housing to keep young people here and older residents here as well. And so I think that's, I don't know if that's part of a new look at the comprehensive plan or how that should be addressed, but I think there's those are some considerations that should be taken care of. And I'd be willing to sit on a committee to look at the comprehensive plan. So, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments on the zoning?
Chuck Holtz. How are we doing?
Good.
I'm glad to see there's some zoning changes happening in terms of definitions. Kind of makes life a little bit easier. One of my concerns with the thing is the adjacent owners. The notification is going from 300 to 500, and I'm not exactly sure why. Most of the surrounding towns, it's just adjacent owners. It's just whatever property touches it and across the street. Why it went from 300, not sure, and we're going to make it an extra 200 feet prior to that. If you're doing a minor subdivision, if it's allowed use, you have to vote yes on it, as long as it meets all the town code requirements, whether you're an adjacent owner or you're 500 feet away. Adding 500 feet, if you get into some of the hamlets of Jefferson Heights, Palinville, Leeds, you could easily double the amount of notices that have to go out. That's just a burden on the applicants in front of the board. So I'm asking that you look at this and maybe revise it instead of going 300 feet, actually bring it back down to adjacent owners and across the street. Put some language in there that if you got a high-profile case or something that seems like it's going to be a lot of public comment needs to come into it in terms of giving out to the planning board or the zoning board, where they can actually require the applicant to expand out the notices if needed.
Okay, good points. And I agree with what you're saying. In a more dense area, like in the hamlet of Jefferson Heights, you're doing obviously you're going to hit a lot more property owners because the lots are smaller and it's dense.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the thought was if you're out in a rural area, 300 feet doesn't really in the potential you wouldn't get that word out enough. So I understand your points and we'll take it up as
you look at the surrounding towns. They're all adjacent owners. Nobody goes out past the adjacent owners. It's just whatever touches that piece of property and the ones across the street. Those are the ones that are getting notified. Some of the towns, Durham and Windham, they have simple subdivisions. Take a two-lot subdivision there, you walk out. No public hearing, nothing. I mean, I'm not saying, I would love for you to do that and make my life a lot easier.
Right.
But in terms of the notices and stuff, it gets kind of costly, even at 300 feet, the amount of notices that you're putting out for a simple subdivision. I did one up in Palinville. It was, I think it was $180 that the applicant had to spend on notices. So it's just something not to expand out. I think we need to bring it back in. But give the planning board an out, I think, too, in terms of some projects.
It's well taken. I mean, not the 300 feet, but during the COVID, we had a lot of neighbors and abutters, you know, being this, you know, they weren't signing for certifieds, and, you know, so we just want to make sure everybody's aware.
But you still have that. Right. And I would actually love to see you actually get rid of the return receipt part and tell you that it's not true. I have no idea why that's even there. I mean, I understand the certified part where I have to come to you and say, I mailed these on this date, so many days prior to the meeting, so I meet the requirements.
Right.
Whether you get that green card back or not, I mean, some of them, you know, you can ask Patricia, and I know you get them back months later. I've gotten them back months later, where they're just undeliverable. So.
Okay, very good. The points are well taken.
I would just like to reemphasize what Chuck just said, because when we did the Catskill Golf Resort, just those two-unit townhouses, I had to send out 40 certified letters at a cost of over $400. And we were only talking about two units on Brooks Lane. But the Catskill Golf Course went all the way around to Bosomkill Road, James Place. I don't know where the list came from, but it was over 40 people, and the cost was over $400, not $128. So I'd like to reemphasize what he just said.
I would, since I'm not totally retired yet from survey and stuff, so on behalf of my clients I come here with, I would reiterate what Chuck said. Most of the towns, it's adjoining owners, whoever joins the property, to get notification by mail, and the rest is a public notification. And that also goes in the paper, too. So it's not just those mailings that go up, and it gets put on the town website. So, and, you know, it is a an additional burden on the client expense that really I don't know if it's necessary or not. So, thanks.
Okay. Any other comments on the zoning changes? Against motion so carried, so we'll close the second public hearing for tonight. And with that, we'll open up our monthly meeting. Two public hearings. We got a few resolutions that we're going to take care of early on in our meeting. The first one we have is the.
I'm sorry, were you going to keep that public hearing open?
Yeah, we are going to keep we were going to keep that. Well, we want at least to have further comment. I mean, we did just close it. Must we could want to resend it? You think we should resend it?
Adjourn said adjourn.
Adjourn.
Oh, adjourn.
You said adjourn.
I adjourned the public hearing.
Okay, so we'll keep it open until next.
All right. I'm sorry.
But that was our intent, because we want to make sure we get enough public comment and things like that on it. But we will close it.
Did we send these changes to the zoning board? Because I didn't see any comment from a member of the zoning board.
I don't know. Did you get
it? You got a copy, right, Gary?
No, I did not.
All right, can we make sure?
Yes. I found one. Yes. I think I was talking to Ted, and he sent me one.
Okay.
But I didn't. But the rest of the board hasn't been getting it out there, and I haven't got that one.
Okay, so we're going to move forward now with our monthly meeting. And the first resolution we have is to increase the petty cash for our justice. Whereas the town of Catskill has a petty cash fund, and whereas the town justices wish to increase their petty cash fund from increase the petty cash by $50. So therefore, the town of Catskill board authorized an increase of $50 to the petty cash fund for the town court, and the total sum of their petty cash is going to be up to $200. So we need a motion. Motion by Jared.
Second.
Seconded by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, motion so carried. The next resolution we have is presented for consideration for adoption, whereas the budget amendments are needed to make the 2022 budget as followed. We have probably 30 or so, I don't know if it's worthy of reading them all, but every year we do an AUD, an updated annual document, so as the town spends money in one line item, we may go over a little bit in one, and then we just adjust those, bringing an underfunded line to a line that we didn't exceed, so it balances out. I can read through them, I guess, if it would help. So the A fund, which is a town-wide fund, we're going to increase our park and recreational charges by $6,120, increased 2705 gift and donations by $25,670, increased their youth programs from, we're going to bring that up to $31,790. We're going to decrease the youth programs by $25,331.20. We're going to increase the youth program set. Again, these all have line items with them. So they're set. This one's 7310-1, and that's just going to wash out for $25,331.20. Next one, we're going to increase this to 2665 sales of equipment by $5,570. And we're going to increase line 164.2 central garage equipment by $5,570. Next one they got is 2680 insurance recovery. We're going to increase that by $160,560.38. And we're going to increase ambulance replacement line, which is 454021 for ambulance replacement, and that's the same number. That's $160,560.38. I mean, there's all reasons behind these to go through them all, but like the ambulance replacement back in September, one of our ambulances was totaled out by Columbia Green College. We didn't anticipate buying an ambulance, so we got reimbursed, say, that $160,560 from our insurance company. So we ended up needing to buy an ambulance, and so just really a transferring of funds. Other ones we got is increase 3489 state aid, other health, $25,836. Bonuses increased 454017, $24,000. Increased Social Security, and that line is going to be $1,836. Increase line 4089.1 federal aid. County ARPA money is $85,849.30. That was some of the money that Greene County gave every municipality, $100,000 to put towards projects. And to date, we spent $85,849.30, and that went for basically flooring and ceiling of the driveways and stuff like that at the senior center. And we have roughly $14,000 more to spend, and that's going to be painting and so forth at the senior center. Next is building repairs and maintenance. That line we're going to increase to $78,218.14. Increase miscellaneous line, $7,631.16. Other federal aid, we're going to increase $49,272.11. And increase ARPA bonuses by $258.70. Building and maintenance and repairs, $4,950. Increase central data processing, $3,443.41. Ambulance replacement, we're going to increase that line to $40,620. That's the balance of the insurance didn't pay, so we have to spend over $200 for the ambulance. Decrease education and training, $315.01. Increase deputy tax collector, $213.68. Increased retirement, $82.92. Social Security, $18.41. Decrease subscriptions, $88.18. Increase assessor's equipment by $88.118. Seasonal record management, we're going to decrease that by $1,603.63. And we're going to increase to offset that in medical, $1,603.63. Unclassified revenues, $6,000 we're increasing. Increasing miscellaneous line, $6,000. Decrease contingency account by $21,032.45. Increase line 420 law, $75.04. Employee labor relations, HR, we're going to increase that by $5,839.77. Electric, we're going to increase the electric line by $3,294.39. Vehicle equipment and repair maintenance, $2,000 increase. Unallocated insurance increased
$3,336.77. Increased street lighting by $1,035.52. Increase in electric line by $1,054.20. We're going to increase our Social Security line by $4,369.76. And those were in the A fund, which is a town-wide fund. In the town, we have multiple funds, town-wide. And then we have another B line, which is just the town excluding the village. And then we have a DB line, which is our highway department, which only services is the town of Catskill, not the village. So we're going to move on to the DB fund, which is sales of equipment. We're going to increase that line by $14,352.90. Motor fuel, as we know that went up, we're going to increase our motor fuel line by $7,174.63. Road material and supplies, we're going to raise that line up by $6,399.12. Unallocated insurance, we're going to increase that by $779.15. Increased line, which is our state aid chips, which is the helps us pay, we're going to increase that by $56,328.31. And we're going to increase road material line by the same amount. So, therefore, we, the town board of Catskill, approve the 2022 amendments.
Motion
by Jerry.
Second.
Second by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. The good news on the AUD, we had our accountants in yesterday, so we're in really good shape. But we're not really due until the end of March, and it came in February this year, so we're pressures off our bookkeeper, accountant, and controller type of things. So everybody, we're in great shape. Everything's in balance, and it's nice to get it done early, to be honest. But it's some years have come down to the end of March, and sometimes I have to put an extension. So we're good there. Okay. What else we got that? Anybody want to talk about the swinging bridge? Gary? Craig? Sorry to put you through all those amendments.
No, we're trying not to keep you too long here. So, good evening, everybody. So, our ongoing pursuit of rebuilding, reconstructing the swinging bridge in Palinville. And if we were successful, it would be the fifth time it was rebuilt. The last one, that got knocked out in 2011 from Hurricane Irene, lasted almost 70 years. The ones prior to that only lasted like 3 or 4 years at a clip. But they started in 1893. Building the swinging bridge. That was the first time.
What was the date on that?
1893 was the first one built.
First of all, we got a clear record of. We think there were other ones built before it, but we can't get the picture.
So I'm here tonight representing Palinville the Hamlet. And Jill Burkhalter is here, and Craig Davis from the Palinville the Hamlet Board. And so we're looking to give you an update on where we are with that. As you know, the hurricane, we explained in 2011, wiped out the bridge. And then since that time, we, in the beginning, in 2012, we had an engineer on board. We had a preliminary design of the bridge, which I have here for you. And then also, we got easements from the one side and the south side, and the town was a willing an important part of that and a partner in that. At that time, and then in 14 we were moving forward with it. We had a contractor on board, and then we hit a little bit of a snag with the property owner on the north side, and we ended up going to court for that, and then we lost the case. And but we didn't give up on the pursuit of rebuilding the swinging bridge, which is an important asset to the community, to the Palinville and the people of Palinville, also to the town of Catskill, to the county, and visitors from all over. So we have a couple new players, So by relocating the swinging bridge, so our proposal is to relocate the swinging bridge about 600 feet downstream from the original one. And we have the Zane Chief is the owner on the Mill Road side. And our son and daughter-in-law have purchased the Griffin House. The old boys, Michael's and old boys. And so they're willing to give easements to get us from Mill Road over to 23A. And so...
So that is our objective, is to get across the creek
on the swing bridge, and it would still be a swing bridge, it would still be a cable bridge, a footpath over the creek. And our preferred, actually, there's two lots right next to the library. If you're familiar with it, we know where the library is. There's a little parking lot there, and there's another a lot behind that. It's owned by the state of New York. And they acquired that probably 15 or 16 years ago. They were thinking about doing a roundabout there at the intersection, but that never went anywhere, so it's sort of long gone. So, but those two parcels are still in the New York State DOT's name. So ideally, what we would do is try to approach them and try to get those two parcels for green space, and then bring the swimming bridge over the trail, over, cross the creek and up and hit that green space, and then access 23A and the sidewalks that we put in back in 2016. That was when I retired from the county. That was one of my last big projects there to get the funding for that. And so, and we have a commitment from the New York New Jersey Trail Conference. We have a letter in the file from them in 2014 in support of the swinging bridge and making the swinging bridge, bridge part of the long path. And so long path goes from George Washington Bridge up to Thatcher Park, 360-some miles of trail, and 100 miles goes through Catskill Park, and it goes through two communities, Phoenicia and Palinville. That's the long path. And so this is a big, would be a big deal for the New York New Jersey Trail Conference and tourism and all of that stuff, and it would be a big deal for Panama. And so that's, so if you see on the green, and then...
So is the bridge, Gary, going to, it's still going to be a walkway to the New York State property, or would the bridge be over?
No, the bridge would be back here, right here.
Okay.
That's the property you're talking about, right?
That's right. They will lose.
So it's going to, the trail is going to come around here and then go over to the bridge?
Yeah, some of the, we would have to engineer that, all of that. This,
right.
So this is... Our purpose here tonight is to reconfirm the commitment from the town as a significant partner in all of this. And so there was a resolution passed back, I think, 2016 or something like that, where the town was on board and looking to take over the bridge and the maintenance and the liability. And we would get the easements, we would build the bridge, and then the town would take over the maintenance and the liability of that. So part of the town infrastructure.
So when you say liability, if it washes away, we got to pay to put it back?
No. The liability, I'm not an insurance person, first of all.
I would like to get a little bit of a quote from her, you know, get a feel out of NIMA, insurance company. A little
right.
But it's good to have the presentation tonight, and then we can gather some additional information.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Frank.
So we have a letter of commitment to handle to do this from August of 2014, and I believe you voted for it, and I believe you voted for it tonight.
I think Patrick, you were absent that night.
You were absent that night, and I think Bob Antonelli may have voted against it.
No, he was absent.
He was absent.
I have a copy of the minutes.
It was a 3-3 and then two.
It was 3-0.
3-0.
3-2 absence.
I just don't know what legwork and what, you know, information was gathered, you know, by the town board prior to saying yes or no. You know?
Take a look at the letter. We have a copy of it, and I'm sure you have it in your file also. describing.
No, I mean, any time we have a chance or an opportunity to restore a significant piece of local history, it should be, taken out.
Who's paying for it?
So we would get raise the funds to reconstruct the bridge. The panel of the hamlet would raise up that money to do that.
So once the bridge is up, then you're going to hand it over to the town?
To the town, right, yeah. That would be.
Well, and then of course back to the question that I asked.
That would sort of be the objective, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when it gets washed away again? Are we going to rebuild it because we've taken it over? Or is that the...
Well,
is that what you mean by liability of the bridge? Or?
Well, the last one went and lasted over 60, 70 years, so we were hoping that this one lasts the same, so you and I won't have to really worry about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I said we had our flood, and that thing goes down source.
Yes. So historically, what has happened when the bridge has gone down, the people of Panelville have gotten together and rebuilt it. So historically, that's what has happened, and that's what we plan on continuing to happen. You know, and I'm sure that something could be written in the whatever.
What's your timeline?
So it all.
What are you looking at as far as construction? I mean, the engineering's been already completed, or
well, it's not complete. It's all preliminary.
We're right now talking to the two landowners, right. And the very first question from both of them was, or safe from them is, I don't want the liability. So we come back to reconfirm what we did in 2014. Which was to basically put this like all your parks and everything else that you have a liability insurance for.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we reached out to Marshall and Sterling.
I don't remember. That's why I'm asking that question.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking
eight years ago. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
when you mean liability, you mean a slip and fall.
Yeah, slip and fall.
Slip, trip, and fall.
Slip and fall.
Say somebody falls off the bridge,
something
happens, a board breaks, and somebody breaks a leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, and we have the same thing with the sidewalks in some in certain other locations that we have an agreement with, is that we maintain it, meaning we may shovel snow, we may mow the grass around it, but we don't, we're not, but the word repair, so if, you know, because then, you know, again, that becomes a good frame.
For 130 years, the residents of Palo Alto will take care of that.
Right.
Our intention is to continue to take care of
right.
it.
Right.
Is it going to be open year round?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a pretty nice winter.
No idea.
Global warming, you know.
No,
but you know how the highway. Roads and stuff are more important.
People in Panama will go shovel it or whatever, you know. So, you know, it would be open year round. People don't stop hiking just because it's wintertime.
But if you're chopping through. A foot of snow again across the bridge, and you slip and you fall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. But then, you know, we would.
Because when you say we're going to take over the maintenance, that means somebody's got to go out there and shovel the town and stuff like that. That's all.
Yep.
And then we're looking to maintain the easements as well, from the curb, you know, the walkway coming. Up to if it happens to be going through the
23A to
if it goes through the DOT property now, we would
right.
want to see that maintained
right.
from that corner and that whole walkway to the bridge.
Right.
And then are you going to try and get the state to turn that property
I
over
think,
to the town?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be the plan. Ultimately, that would be the plan, to turn that over to the town for green space.
How big are those lots?
Those are only little quarter acre lots. They're not very big.
You're going to put like picnic tables.
Oh, yeah, sure. A couple of benches or something,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like Paul sitting on that, like a community space or a public space
for
somebody.
That's right.
We met, wasn't that long ago in 2020 where we had overcrowding. And, you know, things have changed drastically, but it would still be nice to have a green space for residents or visitors to use.
Right. So we see it as an opportunity for the town, you know, to have a little green space with the swing bridge and, you know, right in the center of Panelville.
Whose property is it from where those lots end to the creek? There's no, is that like the floodplain?
No, that's all Zane. Gee, he comes right up to the bank, right?
Okay. From
so
the side?
No road up to the back of these lots.
Okay.
Yeah.
What size easement are you looking at, like 20 feet? What
probably 15 to 20 feet. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wide. And then the length of the from 23A to Mill Road,
I mean, like I say, personally, I would just like to talk with our insurance company, and you know, I don't want to make a decision without having all the facts.
facts hearing from Niner,
right.
But I mean, it's something that we.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm interested in the project for sure. But if it's a worthy thing, and it is a worthy
this
thing,
is a
and if it's a financial thing that Niner is willing to insure us with,
this is a significant and historic project. And if you don't believe me, go to the Town of Catskill website.
Because the bridge is up.
You see the bridge there?
Because that's the first thing you see is a swinging bridge when you click on the Town of Catskill.
It's our logo, but it's on our page.
Well, is it going to be true to...
So the old towers are still there. They're down. But we would try to retrieve those and incorporate them somehow in the project. They wouldn't be part of the new bridge, but somehow incorporate them in the project. Somehow.
Can't you do like a linkage study too to get money from the state?
So we would reach out to,
because like you say, it's part of the trail system, and that's what they're looking for in all these grants.
Yeah. So we would reach out to the county, the state, to the feds, to the New York, New Jersey Trail Conference. We would reach out to all those people for funding, available.
After we came to light that we were interested in the project, I did a little googling around it, and both of them are trails, and a lot of them are on state property connected trail systems.
Yes.
That seems where.
And this is a big piece of a big trail system. Yeah, this is big. And right now, when you come off the long path, you come up behind the Fernwood down from the mountain from the Catskill High Peak, and come down. And you hit Malden Avenue, the old Malden Turnpike. You got to take a left, and you got to go up the old road that's closed, the old town road that's closed, up to Inman's Bridge there at the base of the mountain. Then you've got to walk down 23A to get to Harding Road access, and that's pretty dangerous. I mean, it's pretty narrow there. There's no walking room. There's no path. There's no sidewalk or anything. So it's a safety issue as well. And so I think that the state and people would jump on board.
The old town road that's closed to link that to the other section of the trail.
Yeah, well, that's where the people go now.
Right.
But then when they hit 23A, that's pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Right. So this would alleviate that, get them over on into Palmville.
So once you come over, then it goes up Parting Trails is the continuation.
Right.
That also puts them right in the middle of our commercial district on the way to the Harding Trail.
Yeah.
As opposed to going the other way from our commercial district and getting on the Harding Trail.
Joe, what was it? This, you have to refresh my memory or everybody else's memory. This is our...
That's our logo. That's our company. The one thing I just want to add to what you said is that we've got... It is our brand. It's on our organization's logo. It's on our Welcome to Palinville sign, if you realize that when you come into Palinville. The bridge was on our bicentennial t-shirts that we made. That was our symbol there. The bridge is in the background on your webpage, and there are two large photographs of the bridge on the other side. So the bridge is everywhere except where it should be, which is in Palinville. So...
As a town board, we appreciate the efforts that the hamlets made in moving the project and getting it back.
So this was a preliminary. This was a preliminary design that we had done back in 2014.
Technically, wood again.
It'd be wood, be cable, and be wood. It'd be instead of the old pine boards, it would be modern.
Pressure treated or
tracks? The tracks, country tracks, or something like that. Rubberized or something like that. Yeah. But so that was basically the bridge at this location would be slightly longer probably, and probably about between 10 and 15 feet off of the creek.
So it would be higher
elevation wise,
better elevation.
So you're estimating that it's going to be 15?
Clearance, 10 to 15.
From the creek bed,
we have to do a hydraulic analysis of the creek coming through there and the flood elevation and all that sort of stuff. So.
And what do you estimate the length there, roughly?
So it's probably going to be between 100 and 120 feet long, probably, something like that, in that neighborhood. But we won't know until we get the final design there.
We'll put it back up on the agenda for.
It's great that this is coming back to life. That's very good.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We think it's a big opportunity here. We had a big setback there, and so we're pretty discouraged about the whole thing. But we don't want to. We're the caretakers of the bridge, and so it's been there since 1893, or, you know, over 100, almost 150 years. So we don't want to be the ones that drop the ball on this.
And who knows how many different places it may have been in
and because,
centuries.
Yeah, yeah. And because and once you drop the ball, it's hard to pick it back up again. So.
You got a little momentum.
That's right.
Keep it moving forward.
So,
hey, not to change the subject or anything, how did the shuttle go this summer?
I don't really know.
Any updates on that Catskill show?
I saw it a couple times, but it didn't really look like there was a lot of people on it. I'm just curious.
That's the issue, is that it was... It did perfectly well for what the guy wanted it to do, which was to bring people to his little lake up in Tannersville, and it served that purpose. It did nothing to decrease the traffic in the Clove because there just weren't enough of them. You had to wait too long for another shuttle to go up there. So what we had talked about as a shuttle was more of a 20-minute
right.
maximum wait.
Right.
And he was not geared up for that. So.
And did they drop anybody off in between, or is it just...
There was stops along the way.
Did they run the shuttle all summer, though?
Weekends,
and the summer. Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw, like, probably like you did, went by a couple of times. Nice. There's 8 people on it, 10 people, 5.
Right, because I saw the shuttle, but then you still see a lot of people walking. I was just curious of what the, you know...
Well, there's no... Part of our whole discussion with the shuttle was to stop parking up there.
Right.
Put up signage that says, park here, take the shuttle, and none of that was done.
Yeah.
So you have no idea how a real shuttle would work.
Right. Because I saw they had a little parking area by where...
Michael's.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yep. And sometimes there was a few cars in there, so...
Yeah.
Yep.
So are they going to do it again this year, or...?
No.
So, we'll see.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Eric.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for your support.
Okay. Just so I want to make sure we don't bypass it. Yeah, let's get this local law one passed tonight, if we can get that for a fireman, because if we miss it tonight, we skip over. So I'm just entertain a motion to pass local law one.
Second.
Patrick McCullough makes a motion, and seconded by Paul Bosberg. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Okay, very good. So we get that up to Audrey. It's a good start. And thanks for the fireman, Michael. Thanks for coming in and representing Kiska Town. And again, thank you for your service in the fire industry. Okay, next one we have is from Matt Carlisle. It's Park Avenue, Park to Tax Map 138.11-1-21. We've had a lean on Ted a little bit when we get up, but this problem we have is we have a couple of billboards on 23B they've been dilapidated in disrepair for quite some time, and we've had it, and the property owner has been invited to town court on a couple of occasions, and we haven't been successful, frankly, to get the billboards either taken down or repaired. And frankly, they're in such a bad situation that they need to come down. It's a danger for motorists and pedestrians if they're walking in that area. So again, we haven't been successful going through the court system. So we have Chapter 90 in our town code where the town board has the ability to bring individuals or property owners in front of the town board to remedy those situations. And if they don't act, then the town board has that authorization to move forward in the form of like an RFP and have that property brought back to the standard. So with that, I mean, I don't know if we have anyone.
Yeah, it says Chapter 90-5, the town board shall consider such report, which is a report on the billboards that Matt submitted. The town board shall consider such report and by resolution determine if in its opinion the report so warrants that the building or structure is unsafe and dangerous and order it repair if the same can be repaired or its demolition and removal and further order that a notice be served upon the persons and in the manner provided therein. And then there's some content here that I'm going to help Matt with as far as the notice to the neighbors or to the owner. So,
but he waived the notice or anything? continue to give a notice to
repair it? He gave the order of a remedy, and right. Had invited or had court right. dates for the individual property owner, which right. they didn't show to court. So now, as a town board, we want to give notice to, for this individual or property owner to come before the town board. So it's like a friend. It's right on 23B down by King. Past Carl's where the oldest story in motor court is right out
there. That turn here?
Right on that turn, yeah.
Was blocking the billboards?
Yeah, those billboards that are...
The billboards.
Yes.
On the right-hand side.
Exactly. So now we have to give notice for the property owner to come in front of the town board. And then, again, if there's inaction at that point, the town board has the authority to move forward and have that situation remedied. And at that point, the cost of that particular project, whatever that number is, would be reassessed on that, re-levied on their taxes, and if they want to keep their property, they'll either pay us or it'll be on a tax sale.
So this is an alternate remedy. The remedy that we tried to take with the court didn't work, so now we need to make sure we comply with the town code. So what you're going to do by resolution, you accept the report and you find that the notice is, or the structure is unsafe and dangerous, order its repair, if the same can be repaired, or demolition and removal. Declaration, let's see here, a statement, now Matt's going to send out a statement that the securing and removal of such buildings shall commence within 20 days of the service of the notice, and the notice is going to be by mail, either personally or registered mail. Okay, so and we'll have to, I'll make sure that the timing, if today's Wednesday, let's say, by argument's sake, worst case scenario, goes out on Monday, let's say. So Monday yes. is...
Well, I would do it so it falls to the next board meeting.
That's what we're trying to say, yeah.
So we're not requesting it to the board meeting. They're giving 20 days to run.
They get 20 days to run.
Yes.
Yeah, coming to a board.
Well, he can if he wants.
We're inviting to a public hearing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So your first Tuesday is the 7th. So if this goes out on the 20th, they get 20 days.
Well, the 20 days is to really start action, right? I'll have to reread that. I don't have it in front of me. I think the 20 days, upon notice, they have 20 days to initiate the correction of abate the
problem. After they come to
and after 20 days, if there's no action, then we move, right? Or not?
They get 20 days. They get 20 days.
This is the first time we've done this, and we got to make sure we do it right.
It's not the first time Catskills has done it, but if that was done... I don't want to bring that up. But I've been on the other side of the table many years ago for a distant party's property.
And
so he's been done once before.
And he's reformed. He's reformed.
I'm reformed. So I'm familiar with the process.
All right. So there's a couple of time frames. We're going to give him a notice that he has to start working on it within 20 days. So that's one time frame. The other time frame is a notice in the time and place of the hearing before the town board, wherein any interested party may be heard in regard to this order issued under this section. So you will send him or her a notice of our hearing, which will be presumably on March 7th.
Right.
We can get it first.
Right. If we can get that to happen on March 7th, the hearing.
Okay. I'll make sure that both of those.
So do we have to do a resolution tonight?
Yes. You're going to do a resolution tonight. And I can help Liz with the wording, but you're going to find that the structure is unsafe and dangerous. A notice is to be sent to the owner. He's either got to fix it or it gets torn down. He's got 20 days to start.
So
that's the second part of the resolution is going to be to set a hearing on March 7th.
Okay. 20 days from today is March 7th.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a different time frame. There's two time frames.
So one is when are you setting your public hearing?
One is for him to start.
Or 20 days is for him to start
right.
making progress on
right.
the issue. Correct.
Okay, and I'll help you with that.
All right, so Jared's going to make the motion that we...
I make the motion.
What I just said.
Yes.
But when are you having the public
sure
hearing for the unsafe building?
March 7th.
So what, Ted's gonna
that's 20 days.
Yeah, that's okay.
March 7th, okay.
The overall view of what we're trying to do. So we've got a motion by Jared. We need a second.
Second
by Paul Vosburgh.
What time are you having this public hearing on March 7th?
6:30 is fine. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Okay.
What else do we have going? Anybody else? Tom, you got anything? I think we're done with most of our technicians. I'd
yeah,
like to go
ahead.
Back, Tom.
Sorry, we got here a little late, so I didn't sign in. But I'm Tom Andreessen with the American Legion. I spearheaded the program for the Hometown Heroes Badges. And as of right now, we've got 110.
Nice.
And probably about 80 of them. But I got to thank Liz, Dale, and Pat for all their help. It's been nonstop, and my wife and I—we've been going every day on these things. So hopefully by mid-May, hopefully they'll all be in up. I did go to Panelville, and I do put red paint on the poles that we're going to put them on. I started that in September, October, and Panelville put up all the balance signs, which I don't want to so now we're going to have to rearrange some of the ones we're going to put out there, and they're not going to be basically in the village of Panel. It's just not going to look right, so we're going to have to put them on the outskirts. We've got a couple out there that we can put by White's Road, we can put the banners, or anything. Unless they put more up, I don't know.
Are there banners up down by the Rick Evermichael Country Club? Is that available space, Tom? Down by the country club or the golf course, is you know some poles available there as you would come into the hamlet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already marked a few of them. You know, 23A and 32, or the 32A.
32A and 23A.
Yeah. So anyway, that's on track. And my wife, she spearheaded the parade, and Pat is going to coordinate the groups that are coming and where they're going to be stationed. We're going to have Dale, he's going to be announcing from the courthouse steps as they come past the viewing stand. So people get a recognition of who's there, who's marching. A lot of times they just walk by and don't even have a clue. And it's going to wind up, the parade itself is going to go down to the park. Historic Park. We're going to have the music and the speakers are going to be in the Freight Master's building at the point. And we're also going to try and have a setup where the motorcyclists and the antique cars are going to park there in that lot where the Freight Master's building is. So people can have an idea, you know, they can get in there and they can view it instead of just walking into the Freight Master's building. They can walk around with the motorcycles, the antique cars, and right now we've got some of the military vehicles coming, and Pat's got a whole list of people that he's going to be contacting already with the fire department and so forth. So, you know, all I can say again is again thanks to Liz, Dale, and Pat again for helping Joy with the Memorial Day.
Well, Tom, I got to tell you, I appreciate you thanking us, but the truth is, you spearheaded the banner program with your wife, Joy. I mean, you started talking about it in 2020 or 2019, and then COVID, you know, put everything on the back burner. But it wasn't for both of you, and you're very community-oriented and spirited. And I, you know, I'm the town board. I feel that everybody in our community feels the same way.
We don't do things for recognition, but again, it's a great improvement, and you're going to bring, you know, through the committee, there's a patriotic committee as well, but you're bringing parades back, and you're, you know, with that comes community spirit as equally as important as a swinging bridge. It's all about being part of the community and bringing events that we all are proud of. So I want to thank both of you on behalf of the town board and the community and all the other members that are, you know, involved with that, Patrick, that are making this a reality.
Well, thanks, and I'll just reiterate what I said many times before, that it's long overdue for the veterans and their families, yes, these banners. So, you know, I'm more than happy to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Before COVID, we used to have a Town of Catskill Memorial Day Committee. So I've been sitting on the patriotic committee with Tom and the rest of the group. I'd like to bring that under the Town of Catskill Memorial Day Committee. This way we're able to provide the insurance for the county and ask permission to use the courthouse at Great Master Building, and also provide funding like we have in the past for mailing and bands.
Because we got the celebration, yep, that we can use a little, yep, bit of the money. So it's not, you know, it's not all fundraising on the you know, the VFW and the patriotic, yep, committee. So I would you know, move that motion forward, Liz, and if somebody wants to second it by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carry.
Hey, Tom, question. I know the cutoff has passed for this year.
Yeah.
Possibly for next year. Do you have a list perhaps of veterans that have no family left to sponsor one of these, and some local businesses may want to sponsor?
We don't have that list. I mean, you may be able to get it from the VA. You know, Michelle Dale may have them.
Because I know some local businesses would be willing to sponsor some of it for people that don't have family anymore,
right,
to
do
that's
it. That's an excellent idea.
We'll check it out, and we'll check with Michelle, and if we do find them, we'll certainly let you know.
Even on those lines, what Jared is saying, if there's also people and residents that may not have the resources that have pictures of veterans and they're still with us that want to participate, and sometimes $195 for that banner's expense, you know,
right,
it's prohibitive for some, I would say.
Right.
Hopefully not many, but it definitely is a, you know, it's a certain amount of money. So I mean, if a local business would want to make donations to the patriotic committee, they may have somebody that could use a little support on getting their family member on one of those banners.
Well, I think once the banners are up, there's going to be an awful lot of people that will see that, and they're going to sponsor their relative.
Every day at Tom that happens. A friend of mine put something up on Facebook. It was his dad's birthday the other day. It was, you know, it doesn't matter, but the Fleet's family. And I sent him the link, and he says, "Man, you got to call me about that. I want to get my father up there." So again, deadlines are there. So it may not happen this year, but again, it's going to just grow from here for sure.
Anybody here wants, we'll give it one more week, and then I'm going to send everything up. I'll actually drive up to get it for a flag in case anybody missed it. You know, they're more than welcome to drop it off at my house right up on 23 B&Bs. I was going to say, Jared, I mean, and it's a good idea having some of these businesses sponsored. We just have to be careful, because we did have one woman over at the fireman's home who wanted to put in the clothing of her relatives on it until she found out she had to pay $195. So, kind of a catch-22 with some of this. You know, once we can find out who absolutely doesn't have any relatives, you know.
I was just thinking, you know, there are members that serve that were in this community that had no one left, and
right,
they should still be recognized. That's all.
Right. No, it's a good idea. I do know that I have received a note from a lady, from Carol, and she wanted to know if she could get one from her husband. Of course, it's in Carol, and I told her this was just for Catskill. And she couldn't, her husband's in the service now, and she couldn't afford it. So we probably have some people in our communities, too, that
since
might have someone that's in the service, but if they have kids, they don't have the money to do it. So we have to think of a way to get that out there and have it worded so we can maybe help some people with that.
Okay. I think we got everything except we...
Yeah, an article about Friday, the paper about the landfill.
Five miles. So at our last meeting, regarding major subdivisions within the town of Catskill, which are five or more, and it's customary in many towns that if we're doing major subdivisions, if the developer of that land, we have a requirement in there that you're going to set aside a certain amount of land for public use, and it could be for the use of the individuals of that development. If the developer decides not to set land aside, we're assessing 10% of the unimproved parcels. So in order to have, we passed a resolution to that effect. So again, we covered this at the last meeting. So what ends up happening, we have to have, or we need to have a plan. It's like, okay, you just can't ask a developer saying we need, you know, 10% of that unimproved property without having a plan on what's the vision of the town of Castle, what do we want to do with that money, and you want to have activities that are going to be, you know, diverse. So if it's somebody that's, you know, an elderly person, that we over time we supply an activity that's going to target that age group. We might want to have something that's going to, you know, for somebody a little bit more active that can do tennis. And again, it might be a, you know, some kind of playground or a dog park for the youth. But again, we want to hit the whole spectrum of ages as we come up with these plans and develop that particular land. So that's so as you're aware of, it just because the study was done in 2007, that was incorporated in our plan, which is the 5 mile wood property that we have. We have on 23B through Irene, we have two parcels on 23B that are in the flood zone. And when the county just went over and did their, you know, they had to have a study, and on 23B, and I don't remember the name of the engineering firm in Hudson, that they recommended, like, on the Leeds Flats, you don't build any structures, because when the floodwaters rise and things like that, you'd want to have, like, a dog park, so it's only a fence and structures aren't going to get washed away. The water goes down, 3 days later, you clean up a few, you know, some of the debris, and you bring your dogs back there. So that was one. We have the Margrave property, which is off of 23 there, that was given by the Carls. And I believe there's some property that will be, you know, probably missed in that particular resolution, but through Irene, there's some property that we own in Palinville. So we're looking at all properties that we own in the town of Catskill, and if we could utilize it for recreation, you know, that's our intent. Ricky Crane, if you
have... Go into the press. But the problem with the final use of the property, that was deemed for a while before this. When that showed up. Now, what are your intentions to do out there now, right now?
Right now, I don't think we have an immediate plan for 5 miles.
Well, for the picture, you want where everybody's meeting out there, you want to make some sort of activity out there. That was voted down twice prior to you guys in town. It was voted down, it was shut down by a judge up in Albany. Physically, you can't do nothing with that property, with that land. The rest of it's underwater. So what happened was last meeting's work. When you guys were going to pull a parcel and everything out there, that was shut down because of that. So as far as I'm concerned, at this point, you still can't do anything with
it. Town attorney's taking some notes. I mean, I guess we could look into the history on that. I mean, I'm not aware of those rulings by a judge.
All kidding aside, like I said, it was voted down twice before, prior rulings. Now it's home run. The residents out there are very wild for us to begin with. To me, I don't understand why we got to bring this. It's like bringing this up every 15 years, 10 years. We got to go through this nonsense again. It's a legal bump. It was a legal bump to begin with. It was shut down by a judge in Baltimore because it was out of hand. Then he moved it to the courts. It's like, now we're going to go back up there and reopen the sash and patch this lot again.
If you could give me some specifics as to the Forever Wild and the court case, I would be very interested in seeing those.
That got shut down, and I think it might be 71 or 72.
Well, you'd have to give me the specifics.
Well, I can find them.
Okay.
I know, but I got no. I'm,
all right. No, I appreciate it.
Too, is we have two prior meetings after this, and it was shut down. With the same idea. So I don't know why you got to keep on bringing this up.
The, you know, the easiest thing, and this is up to some future board, no decisions have been made. The only thing we did is we have a plan so that we can start a fund that's going to be used for people to enjoy village parks.
That's not the problem. The issue on that parcel piece of property is a land. And really, by law, you can't do anything.
You could have, certainly, if a future town board ever decided that they were going to do anything out there, the first thing you'd probably do, which would be the easiest thing and the cheapest thing, would be to just have a walking trail. And that's not even, that hasn't been budgeted, that no decisions have been made.
We discussed that on the last program. You know, even with the walking trail out there, it would cost too much money for just to bring that into play because of what's going on out there. You know, the whole woods is full of trash anyway, the glass. Physically can't do anything on a dump site. We already discussed that. The rest of it's on the water. That's all state and federal. So when it comes right down to it, even when on the last meetings we had years ago, we put a wall field in, they had to bring 14 feet of fill in.
Anything you could give me, I'd appreciate having the background.
Yeah, well, and it's nice to have the background on all our properties.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
2008, right?
In 2008, 2007, there was a study, and it was and sitting here today, I mean, there's no plan, or you know, I don't envision us as putting a soccer field or you know amphitheater that was originally in there, and baseball parks, tennis courts, you name it. I mean, it was you know it was more like making a larger complex of that property. I don't envision that's you know being here today. I don't see that. As Ted had mentioned, we got other properties to look at, but something that would be low impact would be something like a walking trail. I mean, that would fall into the forever wild. You're not disturbing. You're not building. But again, any information that you can bring forward, you know, that it was a court ruling and it was a landfill, and nobody can be up there. You know,
I know. I'm pretty sure the document sound was building.
We'll do our due diligence and do a little research.
I think that's why I got it. I know where original was. But the thing is, like I said, it was being better for a lot. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's the way it's going to stay. You know, a lot of people out there are going to say, wait.
I think when we get whatever money we collect, we're going to concentrate on paid food only because it has water, sewer, and power. And it's accessible to everybody.
And also the 23B parcels and leads. Both of those had residents on them at one point. If we needed water, there should be two wells out on those particular properties. If we needed to get water, we might have it.
I'm actually close to something like that then out there because, like I said, you know, on the last meetings we had on that, even to put the footpaths in there, you're going to have to get it studied to be sure there's no contamination. And we know that's the issue out there to begin with. Now, and when soccer people wanted to go out there, they had articles and engineers out there, and they told them, right off the get-go, you're out of your mind, we'll get involved. That's all. That was one of the last meetings we had. But yeah, there is an issue out there as far as cleanup. Because it never was capped properly. We know the thermostat pumped in there. So you open up a can of worms now. If you want to even put a footpath out there, because that was all discussed on the last couple of meetings we had. So, like I said, people are concerned. And when that was put in the paper, I didn't make it down to 2 minutes. I tell you what, I already have one back in the room. And the discussion has been, yesterday was a good one, it's been on for the last 5 days now. People are really upset about that. Another thing I want to bring up, and I said, Patrick, the garbage out there on the road is over the top. The dump site right up to the corner by my mom. That's disgusting. People are wild out there. And it goes all the way down to Lectures. The 5 mile road spot from there to the corner is no need. I'd like to see something happen about that. Governor Fitzgerald won't get assigned, why doesn't people out there, why don't we go and get people to call the garbage?
Well, we don't have a police department, we have to call.
There you go. And then now you want to put a footpath out there, who's going to go on and watch that? This was all on this conversation years ago. You know, if the town can't go out there and we got to go and there's no police department and everything else, it's out of hand.
Well, I mean, like Downville Hamlet does clean up.
I understand that.
And then Leeds initiated a, you know, kind of following the lead of Palinville, Mary Sheridan. And
there's a lot of people out there who do clean up. You know,
I mean, the sad thing is, unfortunately, people, you know, they're driving down the road, and, you know, the most convenient thing for them to do is wind the window down. I live on Caro Junction Road, and I've...
There you go.
It's a great thing people want a McDonald's in Caro, but every weekend, the packaging ends up on my front lawn.
There you go.
And I don't even know how people throw a whole pizza.
I'm going to tell you something. Instead of going home, why don't you go up on it? I'll take a look at it. It's disgusting.
Like I said, I police my front yard, and I don't own the property across the street from my house, but I mow it because I want it to look nice, and I pick the trash up on both sides of the street, and when I bring my garden
out. Well, we have a highway department. It's not bad. They should be going cleaning up the road.
Right. Did you mention it to the highway superintendent?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm learning about the amount of people, but I'll tell you what, me and him had a good conversation here Friday against this one. A lot of people. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm looking at. I'm not this one. And that final award for the properties, which is with that. That partner, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's holding up with our cameras.
Your points are well taken, and the town board will take it under consideration. Again, there's no immediate plans. There's not a 5-year plan. It's just a vision at the moment.
Right.
So, I mean, as we get money, though, I mean, we will, you know, if we're going to collect money from developers for community use, I mean, we're not going to. You know, eventually we're going to do something with that money. But it may, you know, the easiest solution, as Patrick mentioned, it could be, you know, Gary likes pickleball and he's brought that to my attention. Maybe it's a pickleball court at Ricky Kramer. Maybe it's a dog park. Right, Gary, pickleball?
That's a good segue.
I mean, you know, all right. This,
I just wondered how you guys make out with a pickleball.
All right, so he wants a pickleball court, but not on 5 Mile Wood Road.
To extend our playing days.
All right, sounds good. But I really appreciate your bringing your concerns forward to the board. Anything else?
Yep, I received a phone call from Matt Curry from the Department of Health last week inquiring if the town board ever considered public water up in Palinville. I told him, you know, it's never, as far as I know, it's never been brought to our attention before, and there's no way that Palinville or the cells can support a water department, water filtration plan. So, but I did tell him I'd pass along to the town board, but I don't think it's going to go.
And that was a verbal from DEC? Or who
Department of Health.
Department of Health.
State Department of Health, because we don't have any group people.
So he figured that would be the answer, but he needed to ask.
Okay.
Very good. I have one more question. I'd like to discuss hiring someone for billing clerk for the ambulance.
Okay.
I mean, we have the application from Mr. Izzo. He's more than qualified for the position. George needs help. And
I think we're gonna go into executive session for personnel stuff. I would like to discuss that in executive session. Unless somebody else wants to make.
No, let's discuss it in executive session.
Okay. And again, we got a couple of union contract issues that were close in to come into agreements with our ambulance personnel and CSEA at the highway. So we're going to go into executive session. But again, anybody out on the floor have any further comments or concerns they want to address the board with? Tom?
Yeah, just a pretty quick question. Does anybody know when the Camp Town Inn is going to be opening up?
I believe they're taking reservations, I would almost say now, and I believe they're going to be open in the first part of March. Or they're taking reservations for March. They do, if you go on their webpage, they have pricing for their units. You know, so I think if you went on their web page, you would almost be able to reserve because they do have the pricing in their cottages and their rooms.
Once they get their CO.
Right, once they get their CO, which I think they. I believe our code and building inspector did do a final inspection there like a week ago. But again, there might have been a few items on the punch list that needed to be completed. But I think that's going to happen within the next month. They're very close. Within another month, I would think you'll see people.
They did a beautiful job on it.
They certainly did. Big improvement. And like I said, we just hope we can get that hotel going up on the throughway as well to bring other lodging into our community. And as we know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of Airbnbs in Catskill. I believe there's, it might be inclusive of the village, there's like 237, or at least that's what I'm told, for some of these companies that do surveys and, track that data. And again, that's even being brought up by Michelle Hintry as far as possibly going statewide with the registry of Airbnbs.
Right.
Did you have something, Michael?
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm just going to ask, what's the story with the Astoria now?
It's for sale.
It's for sale. Right. I mean, they ran into a few roadblocks, I believe, up there, and they've decided to pull out of that project. But again, that's another property, as with many, that we have to take a look at.
Before you go into executive session, how do you want me to? How should we proceed on these revisions? We have a number of ideas.
Yep.
Let's see what the zoning board can kick back to us.
Right, and then we'll get together and have make some tweak some of the changes that was brought up tonight. Sure. See what we feel is going to be a viable.
I'm going to wait to hear from you.
Right.
Do you want me to make some proposals?
I would rather you probably make some proposals because you heard some of the
Okay.
And is there the rest of the town board good with that?
There were some valid points brought up, especially with the 300 feet and
yep.
the adjacent properties.
Okay.
Let's look at that. Let's look at.
All right. So I'll make some proposals and I'll get them to you before March 7th.
Absolutely.
Okay.
After that works, and
mirror
the
stamp
regulations as far as hearing us, and hopefully we enact those changes.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're going to need a motion by Garrett. He's
motion
the professional executive session guy. Go ahead, Garrett.
Motion to go into executive session to discuss the contract, specific contract issues.
Personnel.
And personnel.
No business will be conducted. No decisions will be made. Once we exit the executive session, we'll adjourn the town board.
Very good. Need a second.
Yeah.
Second by Paul Oxford. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.